sneak that inspection in. Sometimes we seek it in relationships. It's woman at the well, in men, sex, money, new cars, always looking for something new to satisfy. But I think we all know that there is only one who can truly satisfy in a perpetual spring, and that's what we're looking at today. Jesus gives us this life-giving water that can spring up from inside us and keep us satisfied all the days of our lives. And with that spirit, that life-giving spring, which is the Holy Spirit, he calls us to worship him. To worship him in spirit and truth. Doesn't matter if it's in the city, or here at Mount Eliza, or Jerusalem, or Judea, or Samaria. He wants people to worship him from the heart. You know, I think this story of the woman at the well comes up every year in the lectionary. It feels like it anyway. But I never tire of it. It's one of my favourite stories in the whole Bible. And every time I re-look at it, it just has so much more to offer. It just keeps giving. It's amazing. So what I want to do this morning is spend a little bit of time in the text, and then I'm going to put on a little video of an episode of The Chosen, just of the woman at the well, so you can get a real picture of what that looks like. Has anyone looked at The Chosen before? Yeah, it's really quite well done. And then after that, we'll look at what this all means for us today and how it's relevant to our lives, okay? So look at the text. If you have a Bible in front of you, you might want to open at John chapter 4. It says, "Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John." Although, in fact, it wasn't Jesus that baptized, it was his disciples. And I love it that, you know, if your salvation is dependent on your baptism, then Jesus didn't save anyone. He didn't baptize anyone. Only his disciples did. It's just a sign of our salvation. So anyway, it wasn't time for Jesus just now, so he had to go from Judea to Galilee. And the way, the quickest way, was through Samaria. People say that, you know, the Jews would usually go around. I don't think that's necessarily true. I think many would just go through Samaria. It was the quickest and most direct route. But they wouldn't want to actually engage with Samaritans on the way. There was this long hatred between the Samaritans and the true Jews, they called, full-blooded Jews. See, what happened right through back in their history, when Israel sinned, opposite nations would carry them off into captivity. And one time, in 722 BC, Assyria conquered Israel, the northern Israel. And they carted all the people away, and then instead of like just letting them come back one day and reoccupying their own land, they decided to fill that land with foreigners. So they got people from Babylon, Cutha, Ava, Hamath, and Sepharvaim to come and just live in the land, so that when the Israelites did come back, it was just like a fruit bowl of different nations, multicultural. And all these other nations brought other gods. And when the Israelites did come back, they intermarried with these different nationalities. And so the true Jews in the south always thought they were a bit of a mixed breed, a half-breed. And we know from Australian history that's not very desirable either. Now, in the southern kingdom, when Judah fell to Babylon in 600 BC, those people too were carried off to captivity. But they weren't occupied with others. So about 7 years later, 43,000 of them, a remnant, returned to rebuild Jerusalem. And so these people were full-blooded Jews. And some Samaritans came down and said, "We'll help you rebuild Jerusalem." And they said, "No, half-breeds, go away." And so there was this hatred then between these two parts of Israel. So it came out in many stories, but Jesus, in this story, the woman of the well, at the well, he breaks down so many barriers. The racial barriers, the gender barriers, the moral barriers, the geographical barriers, all of it. And that's what I love about Jesus. He just loves and accepts everything. everyone. He wants everyone to receive the life-giving water, no matter who they are, where they come from, what they've done. And that's how we hear this story go. So picking up at verse 4, now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from the journey and sat down at the well. It was noon, the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. Now, this is funny too. A Jew would never ask anything from a Samaritan unless you're buying it. It's okay to buy food, that is respectable. If a Samaritan offered you food, that was disgusting, and you'd say no. You don't accept anything from a Samaritan. But here Jesus is asking for a drink of water from a Samaritan woman nonetheless. And I'll just mention, even when Jewish women were menstruating that time of the month, they were unclean, they were separated, rejected, pushed aside, you stay away from them. They say that a Samaritan woman is born that unclean. So a Jewish woman was viewed that way for 7 days of the month. A Samaritan woman, from the day she was born, was viewed as that unclean. A Jewish man would reject her, keep away from her. She is disgusting. And here is this Samaritan woman who's not just unclean in the Jewish eyes, but also rejected by her own people. She's out at the well in the middle of the day, not in the morning or the evening, in the cool of the day like the other women, because the other women didn't like her. I'm sure they were mean to her or stayed away from her, because this is a woman with, you know, a bad reputation and very low self-esteem, I imagine. So this woman says to Jesus in return, "You are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you life-giving water." And we know what that is, don't we? Told you before. What is it? The Holy Spirit, exactly. The gift of God is the Holy Spirit, the life-giving water that can come and live inside us and satisfy, well up, and keep us satisfied. And Jesus here is offering this woman hope. It's a gift. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and this well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who dug this well himself?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water I will give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said, "Sir, give me this water. I want this water. I want what you're offering. I don't have to come to the well then." She had no idea what Jesus was offering her. She had no understanding at all, because even if she was a religious woman, she had only the first 5 books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. That was the Samaritan Bible. Whereas Jesus came with the full Old Testament, where there's many allusions and prophecies of the Spirit of God. This woman had no idea what Jesus was talking about or offering her yet. She thinks it's just some other kind of water. She says, "Give me this water." And he says, go get your husband first, and I'll tell you both together." "I have no husband," she says. Jesus says, "You're right when you have no husband. The fact is, you've had 5 husbands or men, and the man you have now is not your husband, someone else's." "What you have said is true, sir. I can see you're a prophet." And here's the part where many commentators say she just avoided the confrontation and changed the subject and started talking about whether it's right to worship in Jerusalem or Samaria. But the truth is, if she was really confronted about her sin, she's basically saying, "I have nowhere to go to make that right anyway, if I'm talking to a Jew. The Jews say the place to worship is in Jerusalem. If you want to be right and worship God and offer a sacrifice for your sin, you go to Jerusalem. Samaritans are not welcome in Jerusalem, in the temple. So basically she's saying, if I worship here, I'm still condemned in your eyes. I can't go to Jerusalem. Where would I make things right with God if I were to desire to do so? And Jesus goes on to tell her that it won't matter where you worship, it won't matter which geographical location, because God is doing a new thing. And he wants people to worship him in spirit and in truth, worship him from the heart, wherever you are. It doesn't matter where you go. You won't be judged by God just for coming to him wherever you are. This gift is for everyone of all places, even a Samaritan woman of ill repute. Eventually this woman believes what Jesus is saying. She starts to get a glimpse that he's more than just a prophet. Could this be the Messiah? And this conversation she had was life transforming. It made a difference. And we're going to pick up the rest of the story after we watch The Chosen.
Did you hear me?
That's bad, huh?
Why?
For you, would you? That's what a drink for me as a Nancy, as a woman.
I'm sorry. I should have said please.
And it's not safe for you to be alone out here?
Nor you. I happen to come with others. Why so late in the day? Don't women come to the wells in the cool of the morning?
Yeah. None of them will be seeing my thing, so I come out here in the heat. You have some kind of mind.
Why won't they be seen with you?
Long story.
I'd still like a drink of water if you can spare it.
Anything but a parched throat will do. Aren't I unclean to you? Won't you be defiled by this vessel?
Maybe some of my people say that about your women, but I don't.
Yeah. What do you say?
I say if you know who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink.
Really?
And I would give you living water.
Would? Except that you have nothing to throw water with, and this is a deep well. Besides, what you need from me if you have your own supply of living water?
Wrong story.
But Jewish water is better than some living water.
That's not what I said.
Are you a better man than our ancestor Jacob, who dug this well? Your water is better than his?
I know Jacob. And everyone who drinks this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never be thirsty again.
Wouldn't that be nice?
The water I give will become in a person a spring of water welling up to eternal life.
Really?
Yes, really.
Prove it.
First, go and call your husband, then come back. I will show you both.
I don't have a husband.
You are right. You've had five husbands. And the man you're living with now, not your husband.
prophets, but here's a preacher thing. Usually the one good thing about coming here alone is I can escape being condemned.
I'm not here to condemn you.
I've made mistakes. Too many. But it's men like you who would make it impossible for me to do anything about it.
How?
Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. But you Jews insist Jerusalem is the only place for true worship.
They say that because the temple is there.
Exactly where we're not allowed.
I'm here to break those barriers. And the time is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father.
So, where am I supposed to go when I need help? I've never received anything from God, so I couldn't thank him even if I did.
Anywhere. God is spirit. And the time is coming and is now here. That it won't matter where you worship, but only that you do it in spirit and truth. Heart and mind, that is the covenant worshiper he's looking for. It won't matter where you're from, or what you've done. Do you believe what I'm telling you?
Until the Messiah comes and explains everything and sorts this mess out, including me, I don't trust in anyone.
You're wrong when you say that you've never received anything from God. This Messiah you speak of, I am he. The first one was named Ramin. You were a woman of purity who was excited to be married, but he wasn't a good man. He hurt you, and it made you question marriage, and even the practice of your faith. The second was Farzad. On your wedding night, his skin smelled like oranges. And to this day, every time you pass by the oranges in the market, you feel guilty for leaving him. Because he was the only truly godly man you've been with. But you felt unworthy.
Why are you doing this?
I have not revealed myself to the public as the Messiah. You are the first. It would be good if you believed me.
It's the wrong person.
I came to Samaria just to meet you. Do you think it's an accident that I'm here in the middle of the day?
I'm rejected by others.
I know. But not by the Messiah.
As you know these things, because you are the Christ. I'm going to tell everyone.
I was counting on it.
Spirit and truth.
Spirit and truth.
It won't be all about mountains or temples.
Soon. Just the heart.
You promise?
I promise.
And the Holy Spirit is like that. When we receive it, it just
fills us with joy and hope and excitement. And we should be telling others about Jesus. Not should, we want to. It wells up. I remember when I first became a Christian, I'd talk about Jesus to everyone. And I still do. I even yesterday got to sit on the beach and tell a man who didn't know the story of the woman at the well. It's his story. And it does its own work. But Jesus transforms people's lives. He changes us from the inside out. It's a bit like this water, this life-giving water. Wish me luck. If I pour it in and Jesus' Holy Spirit fills me up, it should overflow to others and start refreshing them. And in turn, fill them up and they start refreshing others. Let's not talk about me, let's talk about you. Jesus just wants to keep pouring his life-giving spirit into us so it becomes a perpetual spring of life-giving water that goes spreading onto others and others and others. So this is you, and I just wonder who you're refreshing, who you're sharing the life-giving water with, who are you telling, come and meet Jesus. Because he has a gift for you, he has a gift of the Holy Spirit, and if you've never received that, today is a day, because don't go away thirsty. Don't go away empty. Don't go away seeking satisfaction in the wrong thing. When you have everything that you could ever want and more, true fulfillment, true perpetual spring that overflows, comes out of us. You can't contain it, you can't hold it in. I just want it to spread everywhere. So if you are full of the Spirit, let it overflow to others this week. And so today, just take a minute, spend time with God. If you haven't received the Holy Spirit, just ask him to come and fill you now today. Don't go away empty. And if you are full of the Spirit, ask him to show you who you can be good news to, who you can say, come and think more about Jesus. He's great. He has everything you need. He's the gift of God. Jesus, with your Holy Spirit, fill us afresh today. Come into our heart so we can worship in spirit and in truth and be the worshippers that God is truly seeking. We want to live as excited before you as that woman at the well was after her interaction with Jesus. Just give us greater revelation of your truth and all that you offer us. Be that perpetual spring of hope, peace, and love, satisfying every need we have. And help us to refresh others, Lord. Use us this week and every week to share you with others, because you are everything that every person needs, no matter where they live or what they've done or who they are. Your gift is for every single person. Use us for the expansion of your kingdom. Help us introduce others to the Christ. Have your way in our lives, Lord. Draw us closer.